Hello, everyone. You're listening to In the Weeds, an agriculture podcast hosted by Monica Jean and the Michigan Field Crops team.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back again to In the Weeds. This is Monica Jean here. And today we're going to have a financial podcast. We're going to be kind of working through two different programs that are being offered right now that could be of financial assistance to our farmers in Michigan, and that would be COVID-19 relief and also Farm Bill renewal. And so who I have with me today is two experts from our financial team at Extension, and they're going to be discussing these topics today. Corey, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Corey Clark, I am the Farm Business Management Educator in the Thumb.
John Laporte, Farm Business Management Educator in the southwest part of the state.
So let's kick it right off here. What are the different COVID financial programs that exist for farmers, and you know, what should they know?
Oh, there is a ton of stuff. There's actually a ton of programs. There's the direct payment program that is the coronavirus food assistance program. There was round one, round two, and they're working on a round three. There is a couple of loan programs, the Paycheck Protection Program or PPP loans. Those are the forgivable loans. And there was a PPP one, and now there's a PPP two. And then another loan program is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan or EIDL loans. Those have been going since the CARES Act, and they're continuing. And then on top of that, there's two tax credits. There is the Employee Retention Tax Credit that has to do with employers, and the sick leave tax credit, which has to do with providing tax credits for the wages if you have COVID-affected employees that need time off.
Are these programs that are something every farmer should look into, or are they specific to certain types of farms?
The CFAP program, the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, the CFAP program has been applied broadly to different kinds of farms, definitely applies to the row crop farms. PPP and the sick leave program and the EIDL program all apply to farmers whether or not they have employees. And then two of them and the employee retention tax credit apply more if they do have employees. So there's a lot that anybody can take advantage of, and if they have employees, even more.
Okay. And where do these programs sit? Like, if they wanted to go get more information, get signed up, start the process, where would they go?
Okay. The CFAP program has been run through FSA, and there's not a lot of details yet about how CFAP 3 is going to work, but that will come through FSA. The PPP program, that's the forgivable loans, that one will go through lenders. So you apply with your lender. It's actually a Small Business Administration program, so it's not FSA like we're used to, but the lender is the one that interfaces with SBA. But the EIDL loan, you actually apply directly with the Small Business Administration. There's an application online. And then the tax credits, you work with your tax preparer for.
CFAP 3 is one that I've started to get quite a bit of calls on, and there's a lot of questions about how it's going to work, because every time they've rolled out a new version of the CFAP program, they've kind of changed the way the payments work. And so that's kind of one of the things that we're unclear of right now, is what's the new payment program going to be, and how much, what's the factors going to be, the trigger points that actually make payments available to producers out there. And so that's one of those added pieces that we're all waiting to know, because that helps with, you know, when to go sign up and what information needs to be brought into the FSA office.
And there will be a webinar just about that one, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, there will be.
That's absolutely why we keep telling you to check on that webpage, right? The MSU Extension Farm Management Team's webpage. What would it, has the payment program been getting better or worse?
I would say
one to two, you know.
I would say it's gotten better from the standpoint, and Corey, feel free to chime in here, but I believe it's gotten better from the fact that from CFAP 1 to CFAP 2, we kind of added in some more what we kind of call non-traditional participants in government programming. We opened up to greenhouses. I think lamb operations, I know, is one, or goat operations were a couple new add-ons that typically don't participate in programs.
So when considering all these COVID financial programs, is there certain paperwork or record keeping that they need to be getting around and considering?
Yeah, you know, there is. We would normally use the same records as you prepare for taxes. All of your revenues for some things need your asset sales records, but we need them for these programs by quarter. And that determines both whether one qualifies for the programs and also for how much. And you would take those to your lender, you would take those to your tax preparer. And then also for the ones that are involving payroll, the payroll by employee also by quarter. And it includes both what you paid them for gross wages, but also health insurance, other insurances, retirement contributions. And then the lender or the tax preparer, whoever, can help you figure out whether you even qualify. A lot of them are based on a decrease in gross revenues from 2019 to 2020. So you actually have to have those records from 2019, 20, and 21. So I guess it is a little more work than I made it sound like to begin with.
This all sounds like a lot of to do. So is it worth it?
And there is a ton.
Okay. I just like, is some of them worth more time than others, or, you know, if you have the time, you should do them all.
You can probably prioritize. You can pick out the ones that apply to you and scrap the other ones, I suppose. CFAP is the most straightforward one to deal with because FSA is a really common place for us to all work with. But details have to come out about that still. So that's not on the to-do list yet. They did reopen the CFAP 2 program. We have a webinar about that from before. And if you didn't get all of the CFAP 2 money, you can go back and do that still. But that's, most people are not going to benefit too much from that. They're going to benefit when we have CFAP 3, which I'm sure we will come out with stuff when we do.
Okay.
PPP applies to pretty much everybody, and it can be very valuable. Seeing farms in the tens and hundreds of thousand dollars of forgivable loans. The employee retention tax credit, that one can be really valuable. That can be $5,000 to $7,000 an employee, if they have employees. And then the EIDL loan is, that one is for working capital. So like if you're low on working capital and you really need that infusion of funds, you can borrow that and pay it back over 30 years. So if that's like characterizes where you're at, that loan can be really valuable.
When you refer to information you guys are going to have available, what are you like, where are you referring to?
We have a webinar from before that's online from the CFAP 2 program. We have a webinar that will be online for these current programs and how they've changed with the new legislation and like all this stuff, like an hour of details on this stuff and how you do it. Those will be available through the Farm Business Management website. Plus we'll put some articles out too, because there's plenty of stuff to read and plenty of stuff to hear.
So if you're looking for the nitty gritties and a continuous update of this information, you're going to want to get on the MSU Extension website and look under the Farm Financial Management's specific page to keep up to date on all of it.
Yes, and we actually have a link to the coronavirus related programming directly on the Farm Business Management page.
So as soon as you get on that website, you're going to see a little bar that you can click on.
Things that has not been really well publicized because it, you know, gets into the nitty gritty, is that the PPP program can be valuable like up to $20,000 in round one and up to $20,000 in round two for owners, for the actual owner, to compensate them for their income or use their income to justify a loan. And so that one is worth looking into for pretty much anybody, because it just requires at this point that you had $100,000 in gross sales last year, gross revenues. And that's a lot of people.
Okay. Now, deadlines.
Okay.
Yeah.
March 31st for all the PPP stuff. EIDL stretches out through December 31st. And then the employee retention tax credit, the first one from 2020, will be filed on this year's income tax. And then the 2021 will be filed on next year's income tax, but you can use some of your payroll deposits as an advance on that. So the sooner the better.
Well, good to hear. So let's stay optimistic that this third one will be even better and that everyone should keep their eyes and ears open and ready for when that is coming out and check back for more information on the specifics and how to get signed up. So on top of COVID programs, there's also another big program renewal coming up, and that's Farm Bill. John, I was hoping to talk to you a little bit about what kind of decisions need to be made.
Well, this year we've actually got two decisions that we're trying to focus in on for producers. With the latest Farm Bill, we've kind of changed these programs where initially we would be looking at a decision over 5 years for either the price loss coverage, PLC, or the agricultural risk coverage, or ARC programs. And in the latest Farm Bill in 2018, that changed to where it's a year-to-year decision. So here we are in making the decision for 2021. And we kind of have to decide, did the programs that we chose last year make a lot of sense to continue using for 2021, or are we going to be looking at a totally new decision on the farm? On top of that, there is a new insurance option that provides some additional risk coverage that is kind of, that really plays off of the decision you make on your Farm Bill program. And so there's actually an existing program called the Supplemental Coverage Option, or SCO. And the new one is the Enhanced Coverage Option, or ECO. And with depending on which Farm Bill program you're in, you either have access to the SCO or not. And regardless of which program you're in, you have the access to the ECO. And so you're really talking about a Farm Bill decision and a crop insurance decision. And how those two intertwine is kind of making this decision this year a little bit different than what it's been in the past. So the first decision really starts with the Farm Bill program and what makes sense for your individual farm from a risk management standpoint. And when we're talking about risk management, we're really worried about price risk and yield risk. The PLC program focuses only on price, where the ARC programs focus on the yield and price. It's more of a revenue protection type of program. Last year, when we made the decision, we were looking at 2 years at the same time. So we had 2019 and 2020 information. And since 2019 had already passed, we already knew what that information was going to be and how that would actually trigger payments. This year, we're back to a one-year decision, and we're looking at kind of our focus forward on what might happen in the 2021 year. So as you're thinking about which program to use, you have to ask yourself, is it more of a price concern or more of a yield concern? And going into the kind of the forward look, we're not really seeing any reason to think that yields are going to be down this next year. And we know prices are high right now, but the price you use to calculate some of these programs really looks into the marketing year for 21, which doesn't start until this coming September. And so what we're looking at is trying to make that decision based on our best estimate with our own information on the farm, and then looking at county data, which is where the crop insurance also comes into play, and trying to factor that into the overall decision.
Now, like last time, it was a kind of easy decision because we had so much prevent plant, poor yields. So I've been telling a lot of the farmers that had an easy decision, right? They had some really bad yields in areas that just never got planted, that they're probably going to need to consider a different option because are they going to have a year like that again?
Right. And that was one of the things that 2019, because we'd already gone through the year and we knew we had those prevent plan acres, we were able to really utilize the ARC IC program because we could figure out how well that was really going to pay out. Typically, we don't really see that as a promising program because these programs are based on what they call base acres for your farm within the FSA program. And where ARC County and PLC pay out on 85% of the base acres, ARC IC, which is more of an individual farm viewpoint, only pays 65%. So we typically don't look at that one, and we're not really seeing a reason to consider that for the 2021 year. And so that means for those folks that signed up for ARC IC last year because they knew they were going to get a big payment, probably need to be looking at the other option to see how they would actually work for their farm.
Yeah, I had quite a few farmers in the Central Michigan area do ARC IC. So I would agree they need to update that decision.
Yeah, and the tougher decision, I think, for farms when they look at those programs is that interconnection with the crop insurance. Because typically when we talk about farm bill programs, we're not talking about insurance. That's a separate conversation all of its own. And now with these coverage options, if you're someone that utilizes crop insurance and it can be yield protection or revenue protection, these actually stack on top of your individual coverage, but they actually don't use your individual triggers so your individual yields do not actually trigger the SCO or ECO options. They're actually triggered on county information, so county yields, county revenues. They all still use the same future price calculation. So if you have revenue protection, for folks that are listening that have revenue protection, understand you've got a guarantee price and then a harvest option. If the price at harvest time is higher, that'll adjust that revenue. SCO and ECO use that same calculation, but for the yield portion of, they're looking at county level. So that gets a little confusing for people trying to match up. Well, I've got individual coverage up to a point. How does the county level kind of factor in? And then it's insurance, so there's premiums that have to be paid to actually utilize these options, although the premiums are actually quite subsidized, which is nice.
Yeah. What kind of records do they need to make this type of decision?
Well, for the farm bill programs, the FSA programs that they would sign up for, a lot of the information is actually available right through them. They can get, they need to look and have their base acre information and what they have listed for their PLC yields. One of the other things last year, you might remember doing this with folks, Monica, that we actually got a chance to update those PLC yields. So we were kind of doing some calculations on that. We're not doing that this year. Those are actually set, but they can get a form 156 from FSA that'll have their base acres and what those yields are that they'll need to calculate the and actually kind of figure out their PLC versus our county decision. In terms of the crop insurance information, what they'll really need is their yield information that they've provided to their crop insurance, because you have to kind of have an idea of what your expected APH or actual production history yield would be. But then also, what are the premiums going to cost? And it varies between counties. We've actually been putting on some webinars here the last couple weeks, and we'll have a couple more coming up, that we run different scenarios with different counties. And it's interesting that the premiums change a lot depending on the county you're in and what the risk factors in for yields and those adjustment tables. So talking to the crop insurance representative that you work with and getting some premium numbers for those options, really a big part of trying to figure out, does that make sense for your particular farm?
Oh, that's so good. That's so good to know, because, you know, I might get on, download that calculator you guys create, plug in numbers for that farmer, but they still should take that suggestion of the calculator and then add it on to the options that they would get for their coverage cost before they make their decision.
Yep, and actually the calculator has been updated since last year. It's a whole new version that actually factors in the crop insurance side of it. It actually will, you can plug in your premium for your baseline coverage. So if it's revenue protection, and then also the SEO and ECO options. So just like you could before last year, you can kind of run scenarios on which farm bill program will actually pay out based on your kind of different scenarios you want to run, low yields, low prices, high yields, high prices, or a combination. But then you can also look at how does that insurance side actually add to the overall revenue protection that you're looking for, and that risk management protection you're looking for on the farm. So that tool has been updated to actually incorporate those. So absolutely take that information to the crop insurance agent, or at least get the numbers from them, have a conversation about what those prices are for your county and your farm, because the yields that you have for your farm kind of play in a little bit in terms of how the premiums are. So different levels of yield have different risk parameters. And so you get those premium numbers, you can plug them right in the calculator. And yeah, you can sit down with your crop insurance agent and kind of talk about which scenario looks best for managing the risk on the farm.
And so we're referring to the Farm Bill Calculator that the financial MSU Extension's financial team's created. And that is, again, on the website that I had described previously for Corey's portion. So is there any other resources on there you think is really important for the farmers to take a look at when making this Farm Bill renewal decision?
I think the main one is looking at that calculator, and you can access it either through our farm management website or through the MSU Farm Bill website. And we're going to be having some additional information that we're going to be posting up once our webinar series is done. Pretty soon we're going to actually have a kind of a walkthrough, kind of a fact sheet for people on how to use the calculator with the new updates. The other thing I think would be important for people to kind of think about is one of the major trigger points on a farm bill program is what they call this marketing year average. And what that is it's the price that's paid out to producers. It's not a futures price, but it's an actual price that people have received. And again, it starts in September and for the marketing year of 21 and goes through until August of 2022. And we can kind of see what some of those forecasts are at. Another place I would recommend people look for that is USDA actually has that accessible for people to kind of see what those estimates are through the Economic Research Services. They call it a season average price on that website. But that would be a good one to look at. Keeping an eye on futures forecasts is another one. And that's where you can talk to your local grain elevator or grain originator to kind of get an idea of where do you think prices are going to go to aid you in thinking about how does that impact the decision.
Okay. And the last part, of course, is where they are going to do this, their local county FSA office, and what's the drop dead deadline?
Sign up has to be by March 15th. The wonderful thing about these Farm Bill programs is that anytime before March 15th, you can go in and sign up and then change your mind. If you sign up now, then you can actually go back in later. Say something changes in the market. We got a lot of high prices right now. Say something happened in the next month that those prices suddenly evaporate and we're back to prices we saw earlier in 2020. That might change your decision. And so you can go in and actually sign up change your mind about your sign up anytime before March 15th. And we really encourage people to try to go in early and at least get the initial paperwork done to sign up. It's really simple to actually change things once you've already done the sign up process. But that kind of helps out the folks at the FSA office to try to spread out, trying to get everyone signed up at once. Don't be part of a large crowd trying to get in there on the 15th of March, because you actually might miss the opportunity to get signed up if you wait too long. And I do know they try to extend that for people that got in, but try to get in well before March 15th and help those folks out a little bit.
Well, this was a brief overview of the COVID financial programs and the Farm Bill renewal. But of course, we have a whole host of information to help you, the producer, or if you're agribusiness who's supporting producers and want to help them as much as they can with their decision-making process, We have resources for you to make the process easier. And that's on the MSU Extension website under the Farm Financial Management Team's webpage. There's also a coronavirus webpage on the MSU Extension's website that can direct you towards some of this financial help as well. So thank you both for getting on and going through these farm financial topics with me.
This podcast has been brought to you by the MSU Extension Field Crops team. For more podcasts or information, please visit us at canr.msu.edu/field_crops. Thanks for listening.